Good morning and welcome to the July 21st edition of Partner First. Today, we're going to be talking, as always, with thought leaders, subject matter experts, and vendors of note in the MSP space. Today is absolutely no different. We are going to be joined by some awesome entrants into the MSP space, industry veterans. Let me be clear on that. But one of the newer names to this particular area that we're going to be talking about. I'm joined by Mr. Jeremy Young. Jeremy, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Ray, what's going on?
And we also have another special guest, Mr. Brian Johnson. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Good, good. So today's topic is SIEM that doesn't suck. Before we get into that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping real quick. This is going to be, this is recorded. It's already live, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, probably a billion other places, and it's live chat. So if you're in the chat on YouTube, LinkedIn, Discord, wherever you're joining us from, go ahead and chat. We'd love to hear from you. This is not going to be death by PowerPoint. We don't do that. We have lively conversations, so we want to hear from you. If you're a Blue Mirror partner, if you're looking at Blue Mirror, if you have a SIEM solution in place now or not, we don't want to know why. So make sure you chat. And this recording will be available immediately after on all those platforms I just said. So with that, Jeremy, what the hell's a Blue Mirror?
We're everywhere right now. That's crazy, man. So Blue Mirror comes from blue, as in red team versus blue team. And then Mira, Spanish, to search, looking for, to look. And so it's the blue team looking for bad stuff in your environment. It also happens to sound like a medical, like pharmacy pill. And so if you're like, if your detections are not looked at for more than 4 hours, maybe you need Blumira. Maybe that's it.
There you go. It's we're getting medically prescribed for your security solution in the MSP space. I guess that's better and definitely cheaper than Amazon's $3 billion purchase of their medical facilities they just announced today. So, you know, absolutely cool. So Blumira being a, I don't want to butcher this. What is Blumira?
So I would say it's for the most simple, like to put us in a box, we're a SIEM platform. Now, SIEMs today do a lot more than the SIEMs of yesteryear, because the SIEM and SIEM, but they come from a history of security event management, SEM, and security incident management. And those used to be two platforms, and they like Frankenstein them together a long time ago. With the idea of first, just send logs someplace. And oftentimes that was like not much better than a syslog server. So cutting forward to today, modern SIEMs, it brings all your logs from all the various things. And then Blumira specifically, we do all the security stuff that we'll talk about later that used to be like done by your team. To get you to good security outcomes for detection and response. And by the way, we achieve the compliance requirements that you need along the way.
I love it that our good buddy Tom Lawrence never misses an opportunity for a good pun. If you have a detection incident lasting longer than 4 hours, seek your CISSP professional.
That's wonderful.
So before we get too far into it, Brian Johnson, why don't you give us a little background on yourself, man?
Sure. Well, thanks, Ray. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, everybody. Brian Johnson here from 7-Minute Security. We're a security consultancy in the Twin Cities of Minnesota and focus a lot on pen testing and assessments and training, those sorts of things. So most of our days are trying to ethically hack into your company, into your building, into your people, and get them to try to tell us, you know, passwords and credit card numbers and all those sorts of things. But all for the greater good, all to help your organization recognize its gaps and make a plan to close them up and improve your security posture.
And just for my own record keeping, can you give me your mother's maiden name and the street you grew up on?
Right. Yes, I'll send that to you in a info.txt file, and I'll just
I appreciate that.
I'll put that on a public share for you somewhere.
Got that in an Excel macro. We can just send it right over.
Right. Yeah.
Ray, I invited Brian to join us today because he actually the topic SMB SIEM that doesn't suck was inspired by Brian's got a podcast. It's great. You should go listen to it. and he did a series. How many part? Like a four part or something?
Probably up to about four or five. Yeah. Yeah.
Desperately seeking a super sim for SMBs. Did I get that right?
That's it. That's it.
And yeah. So he has been on this journey, and I thought he'd be a pretty great subject matter expert, because when you're doing pen testing and you're testing on people that have sims, you are, it's your job to poke holes, but that also means, and all he does training on pen testing for just getting people up to speed. So he's got a lot of these in labs. So I thought he'd be very relevant to the topic. And
And actually I want to put it out there, because we do have vendors that every single vendor that we have on here, every single thought matter expert, thought leadership or subject matter expert we have on here is always somebody I personally enjoy, or I think they're a betterment for the community. They're not always a vendor that I'm using myself. We are and have been using Glumira for several months now. I can't take credit for it. Jack does all the hard work. I have smarter people than me doing the actual work. But I did see some of the setup. I saw some of the stuff they were working together on when we were originally getting deployed. And I saw a lot of the detections and the, you know, the alerts that come in and how they're handled and all that stuff. So I can speak firsthand to that. And I know Jack is happy. So when they're happy, I'm happy. So just wanted to point that out there as a matter of transparency for the group. So pen testing is that's one of those. I assume this is not the $99 a month pen testing, Brian.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Our engagements are usually a little longer than that. Usually about a week long of testing where we kind of we go through an assumed compromise narrative where we're going to say, you know, given enough time and effort and money, someone's going to fish a user or get them to click something bad or drop a USB drive in the parking lot. Right. So then they've got a foothold on Bob from accounting's system. And now it's what can somebody do with that account to spread influence around the network, escalate privileges, get to a point where they are, we're simulating, you know, we could install ransomware in this environment. You know, that's kind of anybody's worst nightmare, right? So we want to kind of explore how we might be able to get there, the multiple paths to get there. And then, you know, what kind of tools and techniques could be put in place to, you know, get you early warning signs along the way that these bad things are happening. And that's kind of, as Jeremy said, that's kind of how we got connected, because we started a podcast series going, man, it's really frustrating for SMBs. I can't find, number one, an affordable, and number two, an effective SIM that's actually kicking up alerts that the blue team should care about. And I think, Jeremy, I think that's when you reached out over LinkedIn and said, hi, we'd like to introduce ourselves. We're Glumira. We do that. And Ray, I'll tell you, when I got talking with Jeremy, the reason I knew I was in good hands is because I said, yeah, great. I see your website. It looks snazzy and everything. But can I put this in my lab where I'm going to intentionally do very bad things to the network? I want to see what, you know, Glumira is going to tell me. And he didn't bat an eye at it. He just said, you know, bring it on. And
That's kind of why I like it, right? It's not, and I imagine from your perspective, it's a lot different, right? It's one thing that in a matter of pen testing, which is like, you know, snake oil, not snake oil, it's absolutely not snake oil, but it's like that black magic voodoo to most MSPs, because everybody's always searching. It's like SEO almost, right? It's like, they know it exists. It's out there, but finding somebody reliable that you can trust and, you know, to do this stuff, because we don't know what the hell we're doing. That's awesome. So it's nice to have somebody we can say, hey, look, you know, this guy kind of knows, and I have a soft spot for podcasters. But I imagine from your perspective, it's very different, because you're not only seeking footholds, how to get into the network, you're looking to see, okay, is Glumira alerting on this stuff? It's not, did I get in only? It's, are they noticing? And then on the Glumira side, right? Like there's a fine line between telling me absolutely everything that's ever occurred in the history of the planet and telling me the really meaningful stuff. And then going a step beyond on the Glumira side, which is what I really like, of, hey, this is what's happening. We can help you figure this out and get it resolved. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You hit it on the head where it's like, we'll get into a pen test and they'll say, well, we've got system X that is going to tell us all the sorts of things you're doing with your various attacks and getting escalated privileges and so on and so forth. And then the sad end to a lot of those stories is when we get to a point where we've compromised the whole network, one of the things we do is we dump out of the domain controller where everybody's user accounts are. We dump out their usernames and all their password hashes, which is kind of, I joke with Jeremy, it's what I call the finishing move to your Active Directory environment. It's like arguably the worst thing that could happen to your internal network. We've done that. And then the SIM kicks up an alert And then the company's all happy. They say, oh, Brian, we got you. We saw you did something with hashes and we're on to you. And then I have to deliver the bad news of like, it's game over. It's a fatality for your internal network. You caught us when we were done. When a ransomware actor's, you know, got their finger on the trigger of deploying malicious software, you caught us a billisecond before we could have done completely awful things.
Well, that's tough, right? That's tough to be that close to the bone, but still be meaningful alerts. Like that's challenging.
So the overall kind of why SIM at all is getting those early detections. So you're not relying on something to just show the finishing moves. Cause at that point it's too late, right? Once you get past about halfway through the attack chain, you're pretty much too late. So it really relies on getting more visibility to more things so you can have a better chance of catching all attacks in the earlier stages to not get to those eventualities. And if you look at our space, if you look at MSPs, if you look at SMB, the majority of the security budget goes towards endpoints. And the majority of the budget gets spent on things that are primarily signature-based detections on endpoints and Windows servers oftentimes too. Now, there are plenty of MSPs that do way more than that, but at a very high level, that's what it's been for quite a while. We're seeing requirements and other compliance and just us, everybody catching up and wanting to be better at security that's changing. And really we're trying to bring this technology to a space where it hasn't been available and it's always sucked previously. And so let's talk about some of the reasons why historically running a SIM sucks and good IT practitioners have run the other way. Ray, you don't have to name names, but did you actually administer any SIMs in your prior days?
So before we get into that, I want to jump off course just really quickly.
Sure.
This was a conversation I had, and I, to be clear, I'm not a security expert by any means. I'm a network guy. I'm security knowledgeable, like aware, but you know, I have smarter people than that, that I look to. But one of the conversations we had in our OAT Discord back when we were first trialing you guys out was the conversation of logging a log aggregator versus a SIM, right? Because the concept of log aggregation is not new. I mean, we've had Graylog set up. There's a million other logging aggregators set up, log shippers. That's been common practice, especially in the networking space for decades. Can you touch really quick, either of you, on the differences between a log and a SIM?
I'll start out and Brian can cover me. Log aggregation, really the focus is, and like the reason why you want to do that is so you can investigate those logs later. So you can find out like what happened, or in a digital forensics investigation, if you have a breach, those are very handy. But it's not really applied for security purposes, because until you have detections, like until you have all those logs parsed in a place that can have detections written on them, and then those detections surface specific things that lead to actionable remediations, which that process is really what a SIM is supposed to do, and that they don't all do that very well. But that's the idea of taking just a log aggregator, which was the original like purpose of SIM in like the 80s, was like, let's get all this stuff in one place. And then it's developed more and more to enable security investigations, and then take it that next step further of apply detections to then help the response. Brian, anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to think of it. I always think of that log aggregation as a great thing to have for sure. So if you can't do anything but just get this big pile of logs, have that, because as you guys said, in a breach incident response situation, those folks are going to come boots to the ground and say, let's see the logs from the firewall. Let's see the logs from the workstation. And if you have nothing, like I did on my very first incident response about 10 years ago, it's kind of a scary place to be, where you have nothing from the workstations and servers, but you know there's been a breach. And then you ask to see the firewall logs and you find out they unplugged the firewall when they got alerts that malicious software is in the environment. and the logs were only writing to temporary space on the firewall. So they went poof, they went bye-bye. So we were starting with zero. And that gets to be a very difficult conversation to have as a business, because the incident responder is likely to tell you, listen, the only way you're really going to know what happened and how to exercise the evil out of this environment is put in the install media, format C colon, burn the Active Directory to the ground and rebuild. And you're going to be down 4 weeks while you do that. Whereas, like Jeremy was saying, when you've got something not only collecting logs, but doing the smart, you know, looking at it and tying events together and saying, ooh, early warning signs of someone, you know, trying to guess Active Directory passwords and trying to install software and those kind of things where you can shut that down a lot earlier, man, you're going to be much, much better off in the long run.
And that's one of those things that, like, you know, on the MSP world, that's tantamount to the user saying, oh, I had an error on my screen. Okay, well, what did the error say? Oh, I don't know. I closed it.
Like, right. Yeah.
What do I do with that? Right. We've all been there. To answer your question, Jeremy, yes, we did. You know, I did trial and we did deploy several SIM solutions, each to differing amounts of success. I'm not going to call anybody out at all, but I will say some were more challenging than others, because some, it was just a, you know, it was just this verbal vomit of like information that you couldn't correlate to anything. It was just like blah, 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 right? The old BSOD, right? Where it's like all text and you have no idea what it means. Or you couldn't figure out what device it was coming from. Or it was, you know, this constant stream of like nonsense where you have to dial it into what's actually important. And then some others, you know, to go back to Tom's comment, some others were extremely difficult to deploy. I mean, just to get logs from the right places. Tom Lawrence, Lawrence Technologies, awesome YouTube channel, besides good friend, but go see his channels, Lawrence Technologies and Business Technicalities. He says, been testing Blumira log ingestion done via syslog, Linux. Tom is a Linux guy like me. He's much more of a Linux guy than me, but he's definitely a Linux guy. Done via syslog Linux instance, common sense way to ingest logs to send over to their cloud. Easy to configure and get going. Tom's in my world where we have a lot more Linux than most MSPs. But besides that, you have the common stuff, right? The 365 cloud connectors, you know, the cloud native stuff, which makes it really easy to use too.
I think your previous question about log aggregators versus SIM is interesting to me, because that starts to get to the crux of why compliance regimes and why, or one of the reasons why compliance regimes and insurance push this. Because like PCI, CMS, all of the acronyms are like, you should have at least 1 year of log retention. And that's been around for a long time. That's why a lot of the log aggregations exist. Not all things are created equal though. Like having a syslog server in your own environment where if attackers are getting in, they can just delete all of them, or like, yeah, timestamp them to where you don't know where you are in the history of time, versus a third party that they have apply their own timestamps and they're immutable and they're backed up other places. Those are different things. But making sure, like, if you unfortunately get hit with something that, and we'll just use ransomware, and you need a DFIR, if you have 1 year of logs readily available from all of the things, that incident response cleanup looks way different than the scenario that Brian just mentioned. And I mean, Brian, so juxtapose those for me. So if you go into the same incident with no logs versus the same incident with logs, what are the different outcomes you're going to get from the DFIR?
Yeah. And we play more on the red team side of the world and, you know, bring in the blue team IR folks. But often what they'll tell me is, hey, you know, with logs from all the things, you know, Office and local Windows systems and servers, we were able to pretty quickly build a timeline and say this was a compromised business email account. They tried to install, you know, malware on a system, but that system didn't have local admin privileges. So yes, the EDR went nuts. Yes, the company got super scared and everybody's shoulders went up, but it didn't actually become anything bigger than that. Again, to your point, Jeremy, when you go in with no logs, right, and all you have is a bunch of scary looking alerts from the firewall and the EDR system, it can look a lot worse than it is. Or it may be a minor thing. It's just super hard to tell because you just don't have the context.
right? You can have a business email compromise that ends up costing you $50,000 when it really didn't do anything. If you don't have the proof to show that it didn't do anything, and vice versa. But yeah, so there's a lot of reasons why you want to keep logs around before you even get to the use case of applying detection and response to it.
Real quick, I want to, Dan out of Suffolk IT asked, is pricing public on this? We are going to answer that later. I'm specifically holding that back because I want to make sure you get the good information first. I know we all lead with price sometimes, and Blue Mirror definitely has a very attractive option for MSPs. But I want to leave that to the end because the important stuff is, does it work and is it easy first? Because I don't care what price it is. If you can't answer those, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. And could I just say one thing, Ray, about what you said earlier, being a Linux person and, you know, how easy is something like Blue Mirror to get set up? You know, it was interesting to me once Jeremy gave me the keys to a Blue Mirror trial, said, yeah, go get this Blue Mirror sensor going in your environment. I was pleasantly surprised to see that all I had to do was just spin up like a vanilla Ubuntu install and run one script that Blue Mirror had that installed all the dependencies, spun up the sensor. I just let it sit there while I went and got a snack. And then I came back and it said, okay, cool. Log in your Blue Mirror portal. We are now ready for you to start pointing logs to this collector. And I, in my other testing of other competitors, never had it been really that, you know, everybody likes to say just one click or just do one, you know, it's two taps of that. It's never that. This was about as close as it was to just a few commands. And like, I was in business ready to send them logs to look at, which is cool.
I will say these are normally what happens is, you know, I'm blessed by having a very knowledgeable and experienced team. But normally what will happen is because I talk to people and, you know, Jeremy has been in the space a long time. You know, we've known each other from other circles. And so like I'll find something and I'll say I'll play with it for a minute first and then I'll give it to my techs and say or my engineers and say, OK, I like this. Keep testing, right? Because as long as it passes my first test, let them go do the actual work. So I got the chance to deploy it some places and I was like, wow, this is really easy. And so I gave it to the techs or the engineers thinking, okay, well, you know, if it's easy for me, it'll be easier for them. And they completely surpassed my expectations because I said, okay, well, take a week, deploy it where you need to deploy it. And I think within 24 hours, we had it on all the really important stuff, collecting from all the really, really important places. And I was like, I was impressed. It's good, easy stuff, which easy is good, right?
Easy is definitely good.
From an MSP's perspective, once you've done that, once you've started, you've gotten through it the first time, you can get this to where you've got the, like, you can get it deployed in under 2 hours for a normal customer once you know what you're doing, once you've done it once or twice. And that's, I mean, we're talking, if you were a small or mid-sized organization, you wanted to get Splunk or like Azure Sentinel, you're talking about months of deployment, and that's not a joke. And so that's why it's been so hard to find like an SMB SIM that doesn't suck, because all security tools, especially SIMs, in the past were built to be used by security practitioners. And once you get down below a certain threshold, there's not a lot of security practitioners out there. And so really our purpose has been to make a SIM platform. And it has elements of SOAR because we do some automated response with some dynamic block listing. We do provide some workflows, but the reason we do all of that is to make this usable for IT people. And because we understand that there's just none available, not none in the MSP space, but at the SMB level, they don't have any security.
And for those, I was one of those that like, I had to ask what's SOAR a while back. It's security orchestration, automation, and response. I had to go double check that I was getting the acronym right. It's basically that automated response, right? It's the next step of, oops, something happened, let's fix it. And, you know, to any MSP that's doing, you know, RMM automation that's been commonplace for 10 plus years or more. It's just taking that from a security perspective, right? That's basically what it is.
Yeah. And what larger organizations find is that they go and they spend months deploying a big SIM and write all their custom integrations into all the things they need and then write all the, apply all their detections. And then they realize, oh crap, how do I security gets so segmented in larger organizations when it's really the IT people that have the access necessary to do the remediations. And so then trying to bug IT people becomes a full-time job to remediate stuff. So they then buy another platform, which is just as expensive as the SIEM was, if not more, to try and automate those responses for like the top 10 things that are continue to trigger. And that's why so much of this becomes, I think Google just bought Simplify for, I don't remember how much, but it was a lot of money, to try to plug into Chronicle, which is their kind of SIEM platform that they've kind of built out internally. And it's because it created too much, Chronicle created too much noise. And so they needed help to get to that automated workflow because, again, not enough people to go around. So building a platform where the security expertise is baked in and not bolted on is really necessary if you're going to have any luck in this space.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Brian, that been your experience as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as I was saying, it was really easy to get it all spun up. And then I didn't take long to just push out a little GPO, a little group policy file to install it to all my lab systems. And I had them, you know, all talking to Blumira, and off we went. And what was fun too, you know, Jeremy, you're talking about just at a certain threshold, SMBs maybe not, you know, having security expertise. You know, I've got several clients that have a financial guru who is also the IT person, right? So when they get alerts from something, they're getting pressure from customers, from compliance reasons to get a system like Blumira installed, but they have to sit at the dashboard and respond to these alerts. And one thing I really like about Blumira's dashboard is, like, you know, when an alert comes in, it says, here's what's happened. Here's a plain English explanation of why you should care. And then you have to, you can't just right click, close it out or ignore it. You have to respond with, yes, this was expected. No, this wasn't. Or I think my favorite option is just being able to write right into that ticket, like, I don't really understand what this Kerberos, you know, what these acronyms are. Can you help me? And then a Blumira expert will chime in and say, okay, so practically this means the following. And then I can go, whoops, that was me on a test system. Okay, I got it. Yeah, close that out. Or, you know, can you give me a little bit more context here so that I can understand, you know, if I should care or not, which is awesome.
That's the real trick, right? Like, it's not, as I said, like, I have very smart people that work for me. I am security aware. I try to stay up to date as much as I can without being a, you know, a tried and true, like, security practitioner as a professional. But, you know, even with the best of knowledge and training and all that internally, there's always going to be something where we don't know. So having those vendors that you can say, okay, in the same ticket, not send a separate support ticket, not pick up the phone, like in the same alert, you're able to communicate with the team on the vendor side and say, hey, can you help me out? I don't really understand this. What does this mean? You know, what do we need to do? Having that kind of support is a big deal, especially when it comes to security alerting. Because that's the time you need that quickly. That's not a, behind the eight ball no matter what you do, right?
For sure. And I think it should be a huge consideration for anybody considering any of these systems is, what is that relationship going to look like between me and the SIEM provider? Is it this just sort of, you know, they're somewhere in the world just shooting me tickets and can't help if I have any questions? Is it the kind of thing where I'm going to be able to call someone like Jeremy or somebody on Jeremy's team and say, you know, hey, I got this alert. I don't understand it. Or, you know, we just had we'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but hey, we just had a pen test and, you know, I expected to get alert from this attack, but we didn't. Why is that? And if you're working with a group like Blumira, they're going to welcome the conversation and be like, well, let's figure out if there was like a blind spot or if there's just something we don't have a detection for. That's the kind of relationship I want anyway. If you, with your SIEM vendor, if you go to them with a question maybe about why something didn't get triggered and they sort of secure explain and talk over your head and talk down to you and just squash you back, like make you feel dumb for even asking the question, my opinion is you should tuck tail and run from that
secure
vendor.
Shaming and secure splaining. I think I coined.
I have zero tolerance for folks that do that. Yeah. Yep.
I asked to bring this slide up just to brag for a second, because what you guys are talking about, what that translates to, we have a 100% CSAT score, which I know that speaks to the heart of MSPs because this is something they track too. We work really hard to work with our customers in a way that makes them happy with whatever outcome. And the outcome isn't always like happy. Some like vendors change their, like Microsoft Mem365 changes their logs and stuff they send all the time. And lo and behold, that'll break a detection. And then we have to, sometimes we catch it before our customers do. Sometimes our customers catch it and say, hey, why didn't this trigger? I'm like, oh, Microsoft, it's Wednesday, so everything changed again. And we then fix it. But we go the extra mile whenever possible. And that is reflected in that score. We can drop that down and keep it up forever.
Yeah, I mean, I apologize. We do have an actual PowerPoint, and Simon will put the link if you want to actually download it and go read through it and all that fun stuff. But honestly, we brought on Brian. You know, Jeremy wanted to bring on Brian because somebody actually using it and somebody knowledgeable in the space and, you know, get more of the conversation personality. I've learned more from Jeremy myself talking to him than any presentation. I don't think you've actually given me a presentation on Blue Mirror ever, actually. It's just talking and learning is in this particular instance has been what's best for me. So that's what he wanted to do with this. With that, I am getting some questions on Discord. Cool. So I wanted to bring it up if that's cool with you. Yeah. One of the questions was, is the Blue Mirror SIEM homegrown or is it based on a major SIEM platform like FortiSIEM, et cetera, et cetera? Is it some kind of combined modified open source? You get the question. Did you build
it? Are you a Frankenstein outsource sock? Did you bolt a bunch of things together and then call it a product? Here's looking at you. There's plenty I can do. No, it is homegrown. So Blue Mirror spun out of an MSSP in Central Michigan in 2018, where actually it was the offensive side of an MSSP, and they were doing a lot of pen testing, and they were having the same results that Brian has. And I'll ask you to give us some examples here in a minute, Brian, of they'd go through a pen test, and then afterwards they'd review in the logs, like, here's where we did this, here's where we did that. And if you had something that just had a detection for that, we wouldn't have got that far. And so they started writing that thing, which eventually became Blue Mirror. Most of their customers started subscribing to it. And then they spun out and we are now a VC-backed Series A company where we're bringing the platform to the greater MSP and SMB market. It is fully ours. It was not, I think that the very, very first iteration that they started off of was Elk Stack. And then they're like, no, this is too complex. We need something better. And so they started writing their own, and that's been the trajectory ever since. There are a lot in the space, and I do. Yeah. Well, before I go on that diatribe. So Brian, that's your experience with a lot of pen testing with people who already have SIEMs, right?
Yes, exactly. That a lot of things are not being caught, or we're only catching them right at the end. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't, you guys let me know. I don't know how deep in the weeds, how nerdy you want to get, but I can think of specific things. Okay. That I kind of like nerdy, to share, bro, because I just like to get folks thinking about these kind of things, but I'll tell you, you know, we drop into a pen test and, you know, a lot of these attackers in the playbooks they run, they and we were looking for low hanging fruit. And a great low hanging fruit example is an old Microsoft patch from 2017, nicknamed Eternal Blue. It's the MS-1710 vulnerability. And so we'll drop into a pen test. We'll get all their subnets loaded up and we will scan specifically for that. And if we find it, you don't need creds. You don't need anything. Children could do it. You take over that system and you can often use it to quickly, you know, elevate privileges and, you know, worm your way around the environment. One thing we'll likely do shortly after that is we'll do some password spraying. Like we'll take a look at your password policy and it's like, oh, if it's 7 characters and complexity, we might try to log into everybody's Active Directory account one time with a password of password 1, something like that. And those kind of attacks go undetected all the time. And at the end of the pen test, when we talk to the SIEM vendor, a lot of times they'll say things like, oh, you know what? We had a threshold where we were looking for, you know, 50 or 100 invalid login attempts, or we were looking for accounts to get locked out. And so I try to explain to them, well, I'm not wanting to lock out accounts because I want to be stealthy. I certainly don't want the IT people mad at me during the pen test and lock a bunch of people out of their accounts. So, there's a lot of examples like that where we're doing things that are evading thresholds and or we're using a tool set that they're not detecting for. And so, that's been some of my conversations with Blumira, where I think there was a couple of things, Jeremy, a couple attacks where, I didn't see a Blumira ticket come through.
Yeah, for sure.
I got on the horn with your group and they said, okay, let's do a Zoom. Let's do a group brainstorm. Show us the tools. Show us how you're doing it. We'll look at the logs on the back end. And then a couple of days later, they said, okay, please rerun those attacks. And I did. And boom, boom, in come the Blumira tickets. And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about before, where you want that kind of relationship where the vendor goes, we want to learn from things that we're not detecting, not, oh, rest easy. Just shh, don't say anything else. Go take a nap, go get dinner. We got you,
and most SIM platforms, you have to either write your own detections or import them, but that's on you.
And yeah, right.
With Blumira, we do all of that and we tune and groom them before they hit production. So, and we put them in like learning mode so we can see how they would trigger if we put them in. So with the sole intent purpose of not getting things too noisy. Tell you a story. When I first got here, had a partner, one of the first partners who was like testing the platform, and he calls me and he's like, Jeremy, I just did a pen test and we had 4,000 alerts on our Sophos firewalls and we only had one alert in Blumira. And he was like real pissed. And I was like, okay, let's take a look. And then that one alert in Blumira had 4,000 lines of matched evidence where we show like, here's all of the things. It's just in one finding. What are you going to do with 4,000 alerts in your firewall and your email? Right. You're going to control all delete. And with here, we tell you exactly what it was. And then the first thing in the workflow was, hey, are you doing a pen test? And the answer was yes. Welcome to the rest of your day. You just got your time back.
Yeah.
Because we got you to where the remediation needed to be very quickly, as opposed to like in the security world, we have been taught and trained that if it's not noisy, it doesn't work. And that's a bad thing, because most SIMs, and this is kind of a part of the trial process with all SaaS companies. If you don't see something in the trial, we're not going to buy you. And so they go overboard to try and make sure there's something that lights up in the trial so that, okay, we can close that deal. But then after the trial period, when you're not focusing on it, it becomes so noisy, it just gets put on the shelf. And that's where a lot of SIMs end up and live, is just shelfware because they're not manageable.
Yeah. Just to answer some questions real quick that I see in the chat, I want to make sure we don't forget. Dan asked about pricing. You guys do have a free NFR for MSPs, correct?
So I want to, now that we have multiple editions, I want to be very clear. We have a NFR for the advanced edition, which is the highest, most feature-ish, which one, for MSPs. And that's free for internal use of our advanced edition. We also have a free edition, which is just Microsoft 365 only, which as MSPs, you can actually use that with your customers to whether existing customers to get them in the funnel to get them up to advanced, or with prospects to say, hey, free Office 365 monitoring to grow your business with new prospects. So we're trying to extend the product-led growth approach that all VC-backed SaaS companies use to our MSP partners.
Which is, and I'll echo Dustin here, it's awesome. And thanks for answering that. That was James. I don't know if it's James or Mike. I'm pretty sure it was James asking about the NFR version. But to know that there's a free basic version for 365, and let's be honest, that's a major source of alerting. To know that you can try that out with your clients and see how it works. But I want to make sure we don't kind of glaze over that point of like, sometimes you just don't get any alerts. There's nothing wrong with that. That was one of the things like, you were at Huntress before Blumira and many places before that that we'd all be familiar with. But Huntress is another one of those that for a long, long time. I mean, I'm one of the original Huntress users of I was back in 2016, and I have systems that to this day have never had a Huntress detection. That's not a bad thing. That doesn't mean it's not working. You know what I mean? So it's like with the seam. Now, if you're 5 years and your seam hasn't caught anything, go play the lottery. But, you know, but it's one of those things like no alerts is not a bad thing. You want alerts on the meaningful stuff. So I just want to kind of stick to that. Real quick, some other questions I got on Discord. Specifically about the platform, do the MSPs have access to the actual SIEM so they can, you know, look for their other threat hunting, or is it just alerts that you bring to the forefront?
All of the data that is integrated and sent to Lumira, you can see. And so it comes in, we parse it, and then through our report builder, you can see any of the data. We support custom detections, but we write them for you. So you're not going to go in there and write your own detection. But if you need something specific, because you've got a customer that wants to see, I want to demanding to see all account lockouts or whatever the case may be in a specific way, we can write a custom detection. But we, for the purpose of keeping things not noisy, we don't get that far in allowing end users to use or to do certain things, because we don't want to have anybody DDoS themselves, essentially.
Right. Now, I can speak to that too. As a VoIP provider, we did need some custom detections created, or we didn't know what we needed at the time. We talked and worked it out with the support team and said, we're trying to monitor this alert for this. And what ended up happening was they gave us the data and said, okay, let's write a custom detection for this specifically. And that was actually a pretty smooth process. It was pretty cool. I did not expect it. I expected it to be a yes or no. And it was we'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. Let's talk it out.
There's two paths you can go, because there's custom detections that will end up in a finding. And since all the data is there for you, you can also do a scheduled report. And because sometimes you just want to review things on a weekly or monthly basis as opposed to just to see if there's any oddities versus I need a finding on something. Findings are what we call alerts. That's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Findings, alerts. Listen, don't security explain to me, all right? So,
yeah, back off, Jeremy.
So another question.
Just translating marketing speak.
Nice. There you go. Are all Blue Mirror staff US based? This came from a partner that is heavy into the FedRAMP, Gov stuff, CMMC play. You know the type.
Yeah, our Google Cloud is central region US only, and all the people who have access to that are all US based.
Awesome. I think that covers all of his questions. Yep, all the staff, all US based. Yep, he did. And if you guys have questions in the chat or anything, or if you're using Blue Mirror, I'd love to know too. But if you guys have questions in the chat, let us know, because we have experts on here. Or let's just try to stump Brian.
It won't be hard. It won't be hard. While people are thinking of some more questions, I thought of one as we think about things that we do in a pen test, that we do early in a pen test that almost always go undetected. I wanted to give your listeners a little tip to do a little Google search, investigate an attack called Kerberoasting. And I'll just give you kind of the plain English description of Kerberoasting. So when you, in your Active Directory environment, if you're going to run something like IIS or SQL or something, and a lot of environments run that under a service account that is also a domain admin. So they might have an account called SQL Service or IIS Service. Okay, they got services running under that account that is also a domain admin. With the Kerberoasting attack, what happens there is literally any Active Directory user can launch an attack that gives them a list of those users and a password hash for that user that they can take off to some cloud cracking supercomputer and try to crack the plain text hash. So a lot of our pen tests follow that narrative, where we drop on the environment, we do the Kerberoasting attack, we crack the SQL Service password, and we're domain admin. And this all happens before morning snack time. Okay. So you would want to, and this is something you can do without any harm. You can actually do this against your own environment today. It doesn't hurt anything, but I've rarely seen a solution detect this. But Blue Mirror does have a detection for this. And to my knowledge, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but nobody should be doing the Kerberoasting attack for anything other than evil purposes, right? So if it's your pen tester, if it's some friend on your network, if you're getting a free pen test, you know what I mean? and somebody does the curb roasting attack, you definitely want to know it, about it. It is for sure a warning shot of uglier things to come in your Active Directory environment. So again, it's awesome when you see that thing, trouble's brewing, right? And you can take action on it. You don't just want to detect the finishing moves and things I was talking about earlier.
Nice. Well, and I want to share the gentleman that was asking me the questions on Discord about the US staff and the custom alerts and monitors. He said, Those answers were really the correct answers, if that could be such a thing. So you definitely won some people over with those answers, by the way. Yeah. And I got one more person from Discord. You'll probably know who it is for me asking the question, but it affects both of us. PF Sense support.
Working on it. If you get syslog out of whatever it might be, our sensor supports syslog. And so you can just send syslog over to the IP address of the sensor. It's going to send up to the cloud, whether we have a parser built for it yet or not. And whether we have detections built once the parser is built are different questions. But right. You can get syslog over to the sensor. It will get it into the platform. It'll come in as unparsed. And then if you work with your counterpart at Blumira, we can get reports on, and we can write custom alerts on unparsed syslog data, depending on what you're looking for. So
that's fair. I mean, it's not a native sensor, but you still have a way to get the data in. That works. I mean, that's fair.
And it's on our PF Sense and Ubiquiti stuff are both kind of on the to-do list for getting parsers set up.
Yeah. And then we have Tim Golden of Golden Consulting. If you create a free account for a client, is it difficult to add later to your MSP portal? Yes, the portal is multi-tenant. I'm not overspeaking there, am I? Mm-mm.
If you create a free account for a client, is it difficult? No, not at all. So if you create a free account for a client, it's just a request to msp@blumira.com. And the next, I was hoping it would be out before now for the purposes of this webinar, but we've got it into testing now. We're doing a MSP portal. And so the product is multi-tenancy by design, by nature, but we're making it more manageable by letting you add your own accounts, letting you add your own users in bulk. And that's going to be into the product sometime in August. And that will make all this easier. And we'll continue to do things to make things easier. ConnectWise integrations, I know the things that engineering takes time, apparently. So we just have to be patient. I know. I'm still looking for that app dev magic wand. But anything like this that you see, you're not sure, you can of course email msp@blumira.com. That'll get to me and my team. But also, and Ray, I put it in the chat. Blumira.com/ideas is our feature request page. And you can see what we're working on. I think there's a place for a kind of external roadmap there. And also that's where to submit new ideas that has not yet, if you see something you think is a gap, and that is directly to our principal product manager. So that's the best way to get the feedback about where you want us to go.
And I should point out, you guys are very active on the vendor channel and MSP Geek. There's a lot of vendors in MSP Geek, but you guys are definitely top 5% of actually interacting with the MSPs and giving good feedback and stuff like that. So I definitely want to commend you on that, because I'm all about the community thing.
I need to make the switch over to Discord. We use Slack internally, and so it's just so much easier. So I need to bring up my Discord so I'm not relying on the bot. Yeah.
Breaking news. SaaS company uses Slack. What a surprise.
Right.
I know all my buddies that use all my SaaS buddies that are, you know, developers and their companies. It's all Google Meet. It's all Google Workspace. It's all Slack. And I'm like, come over to 365. Come over to the, you know, the dark side. But
you just need to. Everybody just needs to use Teams, and we'll be done with it.
Yeah, because that's not miserable, right? You know, speaking of, actually, we should probably wrap this up, you know, because I'm sure Office 359 will go down yet again this week. We're at the top of the hour. Anything else people should know? Thank you, Slack, Google's away. All right, Tom, you've had enough fun in my live stream. But whatchamacallit? No, thank you so much, guys. Is there anything else the community should know before I let you go?
Well, we did have that question earlier about pricing. I put it in in the chat earlier. There's actually a whole article on it, but it's kind of looks like this. So we do have free for internal use for MSPs, again, of the advanced edition. And you can get to that by just going to bloomier.com/MSP. Ray put the pricing article, so we don't have to stand forever on this page, because you can go to that link and read about how it all works. But essentially, the advanced edition includes 1 year log monitoring and retention and 24/7 SecOps support with a 1 hour SLA. And that's 1 hour of you tell us you need us and we're on a Zoom with you within an hour, not how some of those like Frankenstein outsourced SOC operations. The SLA is once an alert is generated, they have 4 hours or whatever the amount of time is to look at it and to forward it on to you, which is a very different thing, right? Because if you've got something you need to act on now, 4 hours is a lifetime. And if you want to get directly to the NFR, there's the link. Another big differentiator, we build based on users. So it's basically employee count, which aligns to how you do business. A lot of SIM pricing is complicated. It's like, how much data are you using and how many integrations?
I know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know until it's set up. Well, you can't use it until you pay us. We don't do it that way. And so basically, number of employees, you got the cost per user, you can budget, you know what it's going to be. And we have tried to price this so that you can actually use it with your SMB customers and they can actually afford it, because the thing we haven't really talked too much about today, but the thing that's coming, I had three this week say, hey, doing an insurance renewal, they're requiring SIM. Here's three that I need to add to my environment. That I've been saying it for a while, and now I'm actually starting to see it. So you should have something that you're using internally just to be prepared, because you're going to start getting where it was last year. It was a 2-page reinsurance application. Now it's going to be a 10-page reinsurance application, and SIM or log monitoring or retention might be included in that. And you're going to want something that you can, that doesn't take 10 hours to deploy and is actually manageable after you deploy it.
See, now you're just making Dustin happy, because every time you talk about cybersecurity insurance, that's his happy place. He says, just go full sales guy. Promise the world, the devs will figure it out later.
Well,
that's not wrong. I mean, I'll hate you, but
you're right. Right. We're recording and it's being live streamed everywhere, so I'll try to rein my full sales guy there tendencies in.
All right, minimum, you just blame Dustin. So with that said, Jeremy, Brian, thank you so much for being on. Thanks, give us a few seconds, we have Simon with some upcoming events. Simon?
Yeah, so we do have a couple events coming up. So tomorrow we have the MSP Dispatch Week Wrap-Up, catch up with the week's news in the industry, presented by the MSP Media Network. On Tuesday, we'll be back at 10 a.m. With the MSP Dispatch, the news over the weekend, presented again by the MSP Media Network. And then on the 28th, July 28th at 6:30, we're going to be having the Tech Bar Podcast episode 40 with Nicholas Gable of Nerd Parade and ConnectWise, and Alex Permenter and Elizabeth Copeland of Tier 2 Tickets. Then on August 2nd, August 4th, for anyone that's going to Chicago, for CompTIA's ChannelCon, we'll be there. We'll have a booth. We're going to be hanging out with Jeremy as well. So Blumira will have a booth there. Come say hi to us. Come get swag. We'll have a talk. And then on August 11th at 6:30 p.m., we're back at the Tech Bar Podcast episode 41 with Martin and Gavin Stone of MSP Geek.
Awesome. And let's put Brian's podcast up there too, the link. So you guys can go check out Brian's podcast, because make sure to right on time, the chatbot, make sure to like, subscribe, and thumbs up.
Smash that right like button. Smash it.
There you go. But hit him up. Is it 7ms.us?
These classes. That's it. Yep. Yep. That's the kind of the headquarters for the podcast. So yeah, we have a whole, as Jeremy said, a whole series on, we've evaluated different SIM solutions and just giving you a real honest, you know, kind of pro con list, things to consider, costs, that kind of stuff. Yeah, there it is. Nice.
Yeah. Go hit up 7 minute security. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen. Thanks everybody to the OIT family. It's joined us in the chat. We appreciate it. Hope we've answered all of your questions, and please, if you're not already a user, and I know half the group there is a user of Blumira, but if you're not, go check them out and go protect your clients. Till next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Thank you.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.